That's not lit.
Hey, 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 what's up? And welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with your man, L Wonder. It is great to be alive on this Resurrection Sunday. I'm so excited because I'm going to keep on with the We Be Like episode. We are on episode 22. Oh, my goodness, 22 of the podcast. But we're on a We Be Like episode number 9. And today is kind of coincidental that I know that everything, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are part according to his purpose. So in saying that, I know that it is not coincidental. It is the hand of God that made this episode, this Believe Like Thurgood, be a really good episode because it ties into the Resurrection Sunday. It ties into believing in things that we cannot see, having faith, believing, just being encouraged to understand certain things that we cannot see. So, I'm really excited. I'm really excited that you joined me this Resurrection Sunday. If you're watching or listening to it a little bit later, no problem, but this was recorded on Resurrection Sunday. Once again, thank you. I'm gonna jump right into it in a little bit. But we're going to talk about Thurgood Marshall. We're going to talk about how his belief system, how he believed in a better situation is what pushed him, what motivated him to be able to be as influential as he has, especially when it comes to judgment calls and him being the first black Supreme Court, the first African-American on a Supreme, the first African-American Supreme Court justice. And how he played an instrumental role in racial equality during the civil rights movement. So, once again, thank you for joining me on this 22nd episode, double deuce, on this 22nd episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder, with me, your man, L Wonder. And we're gonna continue on with our We Be Like episode, part 9, as we discuss Believe Like Thurgood. We're gonna be right back after these announcements. Hey, everybody. What's up with you? And this is your man, L Wonder, and welcome to another episode of Wonder Why with your man, L Wonder. Today, we are going to continue on, and we are working on part 9 of our We Be Like episode. Yes, we are already on part 9. We got 2 more regular shows, and then I believe we might be doing a recap of everything. But yes, we got 2 more after this one. And this is, I'm so excited. Today is Resurrection Sunday. So the Believe Like Thurgood, I do not believe that God does anything accidental. I think that everything that he does is very strategic. His insight is amazing. So doing all of that, first giving honor to God, we ain't gonna go to old school church, but you know, I definitely got to give honor to God. And no matter what I do, no matter what I'm going through, but I really appreciate what he's been doing, how he's been opening up. And it's because of what we're going to talk about today and how we believe in Like Thurgood. We are in a Black History series called We Be Like, and every week we're talking about key figures in the African-American movement and certain characteristics that they carried, certain things that they, now of course they carry many, many different things, but we're talking about specific characteristics in each person and how we can attribute those things to our walk, to our lifestyle, to our situation, that can help us in our growth and our development and our movement and how we can become better people, how we can walk into our purpose, how we can step into the things that God have ordained for us in our lives. So we're going to jump right into it. And we're going to be talking about Thurgood Marshall. So did you know, because I didn't know, and there seemed to be, and I'm learning, like I always say, one thing about me is this We Be Like series has been teaching me. I really hope that y'all have been getting some stuff from this. I really hope that you've been listening to this podcast, that you've been picking up a lot of different things, that you've been grasping a lot of different concepts, a lot of different messages, a lot of different words that comes out of these things. I hope that you've been listening to them. But what's been happening for me is every time I sit down and I read and I start doing my studies and I start picking up certain things, I've been picking up so much within myself. I've been picking up so much about our my history, our Black history. I've been picking up so much about the different characteristics that these people brought to the table. But I've been picking up so many things spiritually. My spiritual mother has said to me, she said, you should always be able to get something out of something. You know, you can always hear, you should always be able to hear what God is saying through something. And sometimes God don't say anything through everything. But if God brings it to your attention, then you should be able to pull something from it. In saying that, one thing that I've noticed when we've been talking about this We Be Like series, that most of the people that we talk about, when they were born, they were not born what they're known as now. For instance, Thurgood Marshall. Now, everybody else, most people, well, let me take that back. Most people, we've talked about Harriet Tubman. Her name wasn't initially Harriet Tubman. She changed her entire name once she became free. Harriet, based off of her mother. Tubman, based off of her married name. So she changed her name once she became a freed slave, once she became free. We talked about Malcolm Little, who once he been enlightened on certain things, he changed his last name because that was in reference to not walking with the slave name that he was given before, but also recognizing that he's Xing out those things of that former mentality. It's a lot more to go into that, but that was just the basics. That was just the gist of it. But we also went through, we talked about so many people, but it seemed like in most of these stories, that's what we found. We found in most of these stories that they changed their name for some reason. Like W.E.B. Du Bois. I mean, he had his name extended. He just did the initials. Frederick Douglass. He changed his last name to Douglass because it was easier for him to hide and get past with the new name. So they was looking for a specific type of slave. Because they was looking for a specific slave. So it was a lot of these people, what I realized, a lot of these people had changed the name. And just like I talked about when we discussed this in week two with Harriet, Harriet Tubman, people get names, are given names. Not everybody researches or searches for the spiritual significance or the significance behind the name when they give their children names. So in saying all of that, people change their names when they grow, when they develop into a different type and develop into the place that God have for them. The same is say, well, Thurgood changed his name as well. Now, Thurgood didn't change his name because of a slavery mentality. He didn't change his name because he changed his name simply because he was tired of getting of his friends messing with him, poking fun at his first name. So he had decided to try to improve his name and improve the situation. So in his mentality, the name change did not come because, and it has the same type of significance. The name change did not come because of a exit of slavery. He did not have to go through slavery, which means this. What does that mean to us? So, okay, before I start off with that, Thurgood Marshall was born Thorogood, Thorogood, Thorogood Marshall, on June 28, 1908, in Baltimore, Maryland. Tired of having his friends poke fun at his name, he decided to try to improve the situation, and at the age of 6, legally changed it to Thurgood. So he was 6. He was 6 years old. I'm pretty sure he had his parents help change his name or whatnot. But yes, Thurgood was not his original name. It was Thorogood, which I like Thorogood because Thorogood it has a lot to do with being thorough, and it did have a lot to. If you listen to that name being thorough and being good into his situation, now this is just me getting into a whole different place, but I believe that name carried a lot of weight, carried a lot of significance, but he changed his name to improve his situation. Just like, and that's the same thing with Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass changed his name to improve his situation so that he won't have, so it would make it harder for anybody to track him down as a slave because of his last name. So when they asked for identification and he showed that his name was Frederick Douglass, then that's what made it easier for, that's what made the situation a lot better. Sometimes you have to shift. Sometimes you have to change. That's the first point, point number one. Sometimes you have to shift the situation around you in order to, I mean, sometimes you have to shift intricate portions of what you're doing or how you're known or how you function so that your situation itself changes. What does that mean? Sometimes you might have to, I'm hearing this in the spirit, sometimes you might have to cut off certain friends to change your situation around you, okay? Sometimes you might have to stop the relationships, cut off certain relationships because of the situation that you're ready to step into. See, not everybody is meant to go where you are headed, okay? We're gonna hit this thing off real hard. We're gonna hit this thing off real straight up. We're gonna hit this thing off right. Sometimes you gotta change change something about your situation so that you can go into the place that God have for you. Not everybody can go with you. Okay, not everybody can go with you. So you're gonna have to shift up your situation or shift up the people around you because some people are holding you back. Yes, some people can have the best intent for you, but they can be holding you back. For instance, let's like we talked about Malcolm X and his teacher. Good people. He was one of the smartest kids in his class. But his teacher, because of his race, his teacher said, yeah, you don't want to be a lawyer. I mean, it's cool that you want to be a lawyer, but I don't see you being a good lawyer because you black, simply because you're black. Yeah, so sometimes you have to change the people that's around you. Even if they've been around you for a long time, believe like Thurgood. I just want to make sure we're looking at that. Even if they've been around you for a long time, sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's close friends. Sometimes you just got to shift up things. And please remember, please understand this. If you are the person who people have stopped talking to, you don't need to take it hard either. If people have decided to stop talking to you, maybe you might want to listen to it or look at it as knowing that God, once again, my favorite scripture, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So my belief is if somebody shifts and stop being around me, I can't get mad at them because it might not be them doing something to intentionally hurt my feelings. They could just be shifting because God is moving them to shift. And if God is moving somebody to shift away from you, that means that God is moving somebody away from you. If God is moving somebody away from you, that means God is moving you away from them as well. So it could definitely be that God has something that you two cannot be doing together. For instance, and I don't always try to, I mean, yes, I do. I'm not going to lie. I don't always attempt to go to the Bible, but this Bible speaks so much life. The word is so powerful and so eminent in my life and in my situations that it becomes an example for everything that I'm explaining or breaking down. But for instance, in the Bible, when God told Abram to walk away, it was Abram, and Abram took him, his things, his belongings, and he also took his nephew, who he's been raising like a son, Lot. And eventually, Abram and Lot began to be blessed so much because basically God told Abram, everything about you is going to be blessed. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. And made him so phenomenal that everything he said and did was being blessed. In saying that, they became so big, they had so much going for them that it doesn't say Abram and Lot, but it says that their servants, that their men, that their followers, that basically those who are under them started arguing with each other. So Abram's peoples and Lot's people started fighting and arguing with each other. So what it did, it caused Abraham, because Abram was the one who was receiving the word, the direction from God. it caused Abrams to say, hey, look, so that we can just go off on our in a good way, so we don't have problems, so we can go stay cool. I'm gonna take my people one way, you take your people another way. You get to choose whichever way you want to go. And they separated. They moved in different paths. See, that's what I'm referring to. Just because God shifts you away from each other at a moment for a season does not mean that God don't want you to enjoy or love each other or still be there for each other. It just means in the next season, you are not conducive to each other, or you're better off away from each other because of the plans that I have for what's about to happen next. So please do not think that because you are distanced, because you are separated from something or someone, or for a season you are not close to these people or close to these things, that you will never be part of that. Because guess what? Eventually, Abram and Lot came back together and seen each other. Abram was very intricate in the living in Lot's life. Okay? So peep that for a minute. I hope you understand that. He was very influential, very implemental when it came to Lot being spared because of the place that he went to. So please, I hope that hit something. I hope that hit somebody. If I felt it in my spirit, it was a reason. I'm telling you, God don't do nothing just accidental. I believe that somebody listening to this needed to hear the fact that just because you ain't cool with him, just because you ain't cool with her no more, just because y'all ain't best friends no more, does not mean that God don't have a purpose for y'all. Do not mean that y'all need to X each other out of each other's life. No, it just means that in this season, you got a separate purpose than they got. And y'all have to go separate ways for right now. Doesn't mean forever, but it means just for right now. Because all things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. See, that's what I'm talking about. Every time I get into this We Be Like series, we be pulling out something that I ain't never seen before, that I ain't never talked about before. We be pulling out all types of stuff. So let's continue on with the life of Thurgood Marshall. Now, we know Thurgood. The average person, you ask anything about Thurgood Marshall, and I love being in Cleveland because we got the Thurgood Marshall Field down there close to where I grew up at on Huff, over by Huff. We got Thurgood. That's one of our rec centers that we used to play at, that we used to go to. But he changed his name to situate him, and you can tell that he was very prominent at that early age, to have the wherewithal and have the influence to. I'm pretty sure he had influence to his parents for even entertaining changing his name. Thurgood, as a young man, perhaps the person who had the most influence on him was his father, a man who always told his son to stand up for his belief. His father's influence was so strong that late in life, Marshall once said that his father never told me to become a lawyer. He turned me into one. Fathers. So last week we talked about mothers. Last month we made sure we went in, and I made sure I gave all the honor and the prestige to the women, because guess what? You definitely deserve it. I respect and honor you so much. But this week, we're going to talk about the impact of a father. We're going to talk about the impact of a father. Thurgood said the most influential person to him was his father. As a matter of fact, so influential, so important, so much of a beneficial factor to who Thurgood was, that Thurgood said his father did not tell him to be a lawyer, but he turned him into one. Dads, I just had a conversation with my daughter this morning. We had a really good conversation. I hope you understand the value that you bring into your children's life. I know that we are in a generation where we got single mothers. And guess what? I was raised by a single mother. And then but the thing about it is, my single mother did not raise me by herself. I spent a portion of my life being raised by my single mother, but then I also spent a portion of my life being raised by my father. And let me tell you something, no matter what, my father was always there. Now I watched, and that does not take anything away from the value of what my spirit, my mother has done, because I watched my mother be a single mother and the things that she had to go through as a single mother. But then I also was able to grasp and grasp the concepts of being a man from my father. Fathers, please understand the importance and the value that you have in your children's life. Not just your sons, but also your daughters as well. My daughter, I just talked to my daughter today, and my daughters will never experience what it's like to lack love from their father. They won't go around searching for that love that they're looking for from a father, because their father has always given that to them in their life. So today, I'll watch my daughters stand up and be strong, independent women. And understand that the dad, that the father's love is very important, so they don't have to go around searching for it from another man. I hope you understand that. This is point number two. I hope you understand, dads, what your purpose is. Dad, your purpose in your children's life. Not just dads, but parents in general. But I'm speaking directly to the fathers this week, because I talked about it a couple weeks for the last month about the women's perspective and about the women's influence. So let me talk to the dads today. Even though you think they're not listening, they're hearing you. Even though you think that you are not getting the accreditation that you feel like you should be getting, you are, trust me, what you're doing is impactful. I'm here to encourage somebody. I'm here to tell somebody. I'm here to influence somebody. You are right where you need to be, especially when it comes to your children, because even though people are not giving you the credit that you think that you deserve, trust me, the father's place is always going to be, the father is always going to have a place in his child's life, no matter what. No matter what. So please understand that. Please grasp that concept. Dads, please stay consistent in your child's life. I know Mother's Day is coming up soon. Father's Day will be coming up soon. And trust me, me and my best friend, we always talk about it. Father's Day does not hold a candle to Mother's Day. And I understand it. I'm not knocking it either. I'm okay with it. But see, this is my thing. I know that no matter what Father's Day goes on in Father's Day, I know my household and my family always take care of me for Father's Day. See, the impact that you have on your children, my family always take care of me. My family always hold me down for Father's Day. So I will never, I understand. And looking at it, you don't see as many commercials. Trust me, Mother's Day, you're going to see commercials all the time on your TV. Father's Day, you might get a handful of commercials. Depending on how much you watch TV, you might get a handful of commercials. But nowhere near as many commercials for Father's Day as you will see for Mother's Day. And it's okay. Because Father, what you got to understand is this. You're not meant to be the out front. You're not meant to be you're not meant to be that type of parent. See, what we do is a whole different value. What we bring to the table is a whole different value for the fathers that's in their children's lives. I'll say that. But what we bring to the table is totally different. Totally different. Because we function differently than mothers do. Mothers nurture. Now, there are times where we will have to nurture. But most of the time, we teach. We lead. We also step back and allow our children to fail. And then teach them how to do a better job, or how to transition, or what to shift. Oh yeah, so I hope y'all understand. And I'm telling you, these things, this We Be Like series has definitely been bringing so much to the forefront. I hope it's been as good for you as it has been for me. But if it ain't, trust me, I'm glad that I got my not plan. But I'm telling you, this We Be Like series ain't no joke. So we're going to keep it on talking about Thurgood Marshall, because once again, he said that his father never told him to be a lawyer, but he taught him to be a lawyer. So how did he do that? Well, let's check it out. Just as you said, his father influenced him. Influence was so strong that he said never told he turned him into one, because he taught him to always stand up for his beliefs. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. That's what we're talking about for Thurgood Marshall. Believe like Thurgood. So we know that Thurgood was the very first Supreme Court justice, the very first African-American Supreme Court justice. It said, arguably, Marshall's introduction to law came in high school when, as a punishment for a prank he pulled, the school's principal made him read the U.S. Constitution. Marshall immediately liked the document and set about memorizing various parts of it. He took special interest in Article 3 in the Bill of Rights. Article 3 established the judicial branch of government, and the Bill of Rights lists the rights of that all American citizens are supposed to enjoy. So growing up in an era when Jim Crow laws still permeated much of the country, Marshall knew that many African Americans were not enjoying all of the constitutional rights. From an early age, Marshall was aware of racial injustice in America, and he decided to do something about that. Moreover, he also knew that the courts might be the best means for doing so. So listen, this is what Marshall ended up doing. See, I like this. Marshall got in trouble. He got in trouble for pulling a prank. Kids pull pranks. Listen, peep this. My son one day, and this, I thought it was so funny, because, and I know this is kind of, but I got to throw a little bit in there. My son, we April Fool's just passed. And every time April Fool's come up, I always remember about my son and how he was deemed to be the biggest April Fool's prank person in the world. I had to slow that down. This is the reason why. Because my son tried to pull a prank on his sister. LJ tried to pull a prank on Shamar. And what he did, he decided to put soap in the toothpaste. Yep. Yes, yes, yes. He decided, he didn't know any better, but that was, he just thought it was going to be a very good prank. She was going to try to brush her teeth, and she was going to take, and that's what he was going to do. He and I can't remember how we found out. But I'm glad we found out, because he didn't understand that could get her sick and stuff like that. He didn't understand it, but the prank fell back on him. And this is what changed his mindset about trying to be the biggest prankster. Because what he did, when he did that, we took him to the store. We told him, okay, you just wasted a whole thing, a whole tube of toothpaste. So we took him to the store. We had him use his own money. He had to buy some more toothpaste. Now, that might not be the way that we had to, that most people would have handled it. And I do want my son to have fun. Trust me, if you know me, you know I'm going to have fun. So you know me and my kids going to have fun. But that was a lesson that I had to teach him. Okay, well, when you trying to do pranks and stuff, you got to be aware of the cost of the prank. But it was so funny. Every time from now on, from that time on, every time I thought about pranks, every time I think about April Fool's, every time April Fool's just came up, April 1st just passed earlier this week. But every time I think about April Fool's, I think about my son and that prank, and saying that every child wants to do a prank. This is what it reminded me of. So as soon as I read that portion, it reminded me of my son and his prank with the toothpaste. That's exactly what it reminded me of, my son and his prank with the toothpaste. But in saying that, this prank that he pulled, that Thurgood Marshall pulled, his punishment was to read the U.S. Constitution. And I like how he said that. Now this is from a punishment, from thinking that this is the thing about it. Me and my wife was just talking about punishments and how we have to allow people we have to allow our children to learn different lessons off themselves. Of course, I always talk about my 18-year-old son who just moved out, and he's on his own. He's living in his own apartment. He has his job, he's doing his thing. And my daughter, she's 17. She's still in high school. She's finishing up her junior year in high school. She'll be going to be a senior next year. She's going through driver classes. If you've seen the videos on Facebook, I bought her a car. We bought her a car this year for her 17th birthday. She's in the driving classes. She got her temps. She got her two more road classes to do, and then she'll be ready to get her license. So watch out and continue to pray for me because I got a driving daughter. but anyway, in saying that, we was just recently talking about how sometimes you got to let children experience certain things and hopefully they get it together. And me and my daughter was just going through this, and yeah, she scared the mess out of me. She scared the crap out of me while we was driving. Baby, I love you, Shamar, but I know Shamar don't listen to this. I know she probably downstairs listening to me. But as we was driving, she did certain things that had the potential to be real, real bad, but it didn't turn out bad. Like, from her not focusing or not paying attention a little bit or being too comfortable driving, it has the potential, anytime you drive, it has the potential to, it could end up in an accident. It could end up in damaging your vehicle where you got to pay money. And I was just telling her, I always talk to her about making sure she be careful with coming around the curbs too close, because if you ride up on that curve, it can mess up your rim. And that costs a couple $100 to fix. And yes, if she messes up certain things, I want her to understand that it's up to her to for this responsibility. When it comes to the responsibility, you hold it down. In saying that, this is what me and my wife was just recently talking about. Sometimes things have minor repercussions and sometimes things have major repercussions. But the most influential repercussions are the ones that hit your pocket. So in saying that, we don't always like our consequences. But remember, just like I'm going to keep on going back to my favorite scripture. If I say my favorite scripture, I hope you're saying this with me. Because if you're saying it with me, that means that message is getting permeated into your spirit. That means that the word of God is being deposited in your spirit. So my favorite scripture, just like my favorite scripture says, so if you've been listening to me anytime, say it with me. All things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Yes, we're going to say that one more time because I need that to really resonate in your spirit. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. What does that mean? That means even your punishments, even the stuff that you don't like, even the things that does not feel good, even the things that hurt, even the things that challenge you, that cause you out. All things work for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things. That means even your punishments. So just like in the life of Thurgood Marshall, when he pulled the prank and he got in trouble about the prank, his principal made him read the U.S. Constitution. But what it did, it enlightened something within him. It sparked something within him. It changed the way he was looking at things. It shifted how he felt about certain things. So in saying that, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Everything. So you might have just recently got, and now this is another, this is part three. This is number three. Key factor number three. What did not kill you made you stronger. Allow those times where you had to learn a hard life lesson to teach you and elevate your life. Because you had to learn that for a reason. So now that you learned it, it taught you, and it's about to take you higher and elevate. So don't just forget. Don't get mad. Don't just get pissed off at the lesson that you learned. Remember that lesson and keep it going. Look, I recently had to learn some lessons about my credit. And when I learned my lessons, I learned the lesson about my credit, now I had to take that lesson that I learned and start applying it. And now my credit is improving. So all things, including your credit, all things, including your education, all things, including driving, all things, including penalties, all things. I just got a ticket. And I learned, okay, you know what? You need to slow yourself down. I don't like the ticket. I don't like that I got to pay this money for this ticket, but I have to learn from that ticket. And what it did, though, this is what it did for Thurgood, for Mr. Marshall. inspired him. So along with the with his dad's inspiration and this punishment, they had a joint effort. And that joint effort was to stand up for what you believed. And these are the things that all Americans, all citizens are entitled to based on Article 3, the Bill of Rights and the Bill of Rights. But the judicial branch was the most impactful way to get there. So he had a belief. And his dad taught him something about the belief. Always allow your belief. Always fight for what you believe in. Always stand up for what you believe in. Always put energy and effort into what you should believe and what you believe in. In doing that, all things are going to work for the good of those who love the Lord. And in doing that, you're going to be successful, because if God put it in your heart, he will see it to pass. So if you got a dream, if God showed you something or God inspired you about something, make sure that you do not stop chasing that thing. Make sure that you fight for it, because that's what the thing about him. He believed in equal rights. He believed that we all should. This is what the Constitution tells us we should have. So if the Constitution said that all citizens are entitled to these equal rights, then and he's living through the Jim Crow era, then we got to do something better. We got to do something different to get to this point. Now, how do we get there? The judicial system. So he believed he can make some impact. So from there, Marshall attended the All Black Lincoln University, the oldest African-American institute of higher education in the country. And after being rejected from the University of Maryland School of Law because of his race, he went to attend law school at Howard University and graduated first in his class. It was at Howard University that Marshall met Charles Hamilton Houston, the vice dean of the law school. In 1935, Houston directed the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and Marshall was his right-hand man. So peep that for a minute. I hope you understand it. Once again, what does that just tell us? He was rejected. This is another person who was rejected because of his color. This was another person who was rejected out because of things that it was outside of his control. Thurgood Marshall couldn't control that he was Black. And he tried to go to what he felt like it was going to be a really good school to go to, University of Maryland School of Law. But he was not able to go there. Listen, there are times where you are, point number four, there's times where you're going to be rejected and you have no control of the circumstances that you're rejected over. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, including rejection. So Thurgood Marshall got rejected from going to Maryland, which would push him to going to Howard University, which aligned him, which put him in place, which lined him up. With the spiritual connection, with the ordained connection, so that he can complete his purpose, so that he can flow within his purpose. Marshall and Houston were dedicated to a strategy which aimed at ending segregation. So you, point four, like I said, understand that there are certain things that you, that there's certain rejections that you're going to have to go through. But those rejections, don't take it personal. Take it on the chin. And when you get rejected, you can glorify God even more. Because I believe. Yep, just like it says right here. That even the rejections is working for my good. So when I get rejected, God said, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. That's what the Bible said, all things. So if I'm getting rejected, that means that can be worked together for the good of those. That can be worked together for my good. So praise God, glorify God, magnify God, give him his glory, give him his praise, give him his work. Talk about how worthy he is because of those rejections as well. Because had I not been rejected for one position, I would have never gotten to where I had. Let me explain something to you. Right after I got my degree in 2017, I got my bachelor's degree. I was set up to, now I was working at one place. It was a staffing company. And I was looking to leave that staffing company. That staffing company was sufficient for the time frame that I was there. And I was planning on leaving. I had an interview at another place and I got my degree in HR and I got my, I was so excited that I found a position in HR. It was wild because everybody's talking about how, no, you can't really come out. I went to school for HR. I hear all of these people talking about you spending money on school. You can't use, most people to come out not using their degree in that area. I got my business administration degree with a focus of HR and I had an HR position. Now, because of some things that happened in my past, I started that job. But the first day they said, oh, we didn't know that you had this going on back then. I said, well, it's over 7 years old. Normally, it doesn't matter. They said, well, because it's an HR, it does matter. I can't hire you for this position. I was crushed. They said, well, if you can get it expunged, I went through the process to try to get it expunged. I couldn't get it expunged. I was crushed. I felt like, but God, this is what I went to school for. This was a perfect setup. Like, this would have been the perfect setup for me. But all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. See, this is what I say. This is why I say this. A lot of people ask me, you know, like I tell people all the time, I say, it's not about just the words that I'm reading. It's how the words come to life in my life. It's how the words come to life. And I see the word of God moving, functioning, full-fledged, impacting my life. It's not because, so when I say all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, I'm not saying it because I think that it's cute, or I'm not saying it because it's a really good slogan. I'm saying it because I've seen the evidence of all these things that happen in my life working together for the good of me, because I love the Lord and I'm called according to his purpose. So if you love the Lord, if you know that you called according to his purpose, then guess what you step into? You step into that same promise. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Because guess what? Right after that, now they rejected me. And then I my job tried to fire me because I was looking for another job. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's next. I don't know. I'm struggling now because I got this degree. I just finished with my degree. I don't know what's next. And I was ready to take anything. But God. I just so happened to be looking in online and I applied for this position. And it was a government position or something like that. It was at the VA or something like that. And I just so happened to talk to my sister-in-law about it, Simone. Shout out to Simone. Best sister-in-law ever. But I decided to talk to her. She said, oh, let me give you this man's name who might be able to help too. And from that conversation, I started at the VA as a payroll tech. And you heard my story about education last week. I went from being a payroll tech in January of 2000, like January 20 something, the late January. Within 6 months, I was talking to somebody who asked me about becoming a supervisor of payroll. I became the supervisor for payroll. And in a year and a half, I did so much more in payroll than has been done in the last 5-6 years. And I'm not exaggerating, not just me, but me and my team. Not just me, but because of the guidance, because of the leadership, because of the listening to the direction of God. Because I prayed about that position. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. Teach me how to do this. Show me how to move. Show me that humility within me. It kept me going to God on a regular basis. Even up to that point, to the new position that I had, to this new position, this position that I'm working in. All things. But if I would have stayed pissed off because this job couldn't keep me on because of something about my past, it could have hindered me. Believe. So in saying all of that, oh my goodness, we know some of the things that he's done. You know, he was very influential in so many court cases. Oh my goodness, he was very influential. Some of Marshall's notable cases, and you can look these up if you want to. Chambers versus Florida. This is Marshall successfully defended four convicted black men who were coerced by police into confessing to a murder. You hear that? Marshall, in 1940, Chambers versus Florida, Marshall successfully defended four convicted black men who were coerced by police in confessing to murders. Smith versus Allwright, 1944. In this decision, the Supreme Court overturned a Texas state law that authorized the use of whites-only primary elections in certain southern states. Shelley versus Kramer, 1948. The Supreme Court struck down the legality of racially restrictive housing covenants. Sweat versus Painter, 1950. This case challenged the separate but equal doctrine of racial segregation that was put in place in the Plessy versus Ferguson 1896 case and set the stage for future legislation. The court sided with Heman Marriott Sweat, a black man who was denied admission to the University of Texas School of Law due to his race, even though he had the option of separate but equal facility. Brown versus Board of Education of Topeka, one of the most famous ones that I know. This landmark case, that right there, and I didn't even make that up. This is of 1954. This landmark case was considered Marshall's greatest victory as a civil rights lawyer. A group of black parents whose children were required to attend segregated schools files a class action lawsuit. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled that separate education facilities are inherently unequal. So you talk about a dream, you talk about believing. Thurgood Marshall believed in something. Thurgood Marshall had it in his heart. He knew his dad inspired him. He changed certain things for a better situation. His dad inspired him to believe, to always stand up for what you believe in. He played a prank, and because of a punishment, he got so much engraved in him to speak about the equality of everybody, and he stood up for that thing and fought for it as much as possible. So do me a favor, people. Do me a favor, anybody who's listening to me. Believe today like Thurgood. Whatever you believe in, let's stand up for it. Whatever you believe in, make sure you get your facts straight. Make sure you understand what's going on behind it. Because if you believe in it, that means that you're going to spend some time being educated and educating yourself within it. So let's not believe half-heartedly. let's believe like Thurgood. Now, thank you, Mr. Marshall, for the way that you have believed and the way that and the things that you have done, because it's teaching us how to stand up in that same light. Once again, I really appreciate it. I'm not gonna hold anybody too long, because I'm gonna get into this. I got some dinner that I'm taking, that I'm making. Yes, I'm cooking dinner tonight. I've already prepped most of my stuff, so most of it is ready to be ready. You hear that? It's ready to be ready. But I really appreciate what we've been talking about. I'm telling you, I hope that you're getting something from this. I really do. Do me a favor, hit me up if you like what you're hearing. Go comment on Facebook. Go to my website. LWonder.wordpress.com, or you can email me at LWonder821@gmail.com and let me know how you're feeling. Let me know if you're liking this stuff. Please put it out there, because please let me know what's going on with this, because I'm enjoying this. I don't know if you've been getting anything, but I'm gonna tell you myself, I've been getting so much out of this We Be Like series. I'm so excited. I'm so excited, and I've been putting my all into this. So just let me know what you feel about it, what you think about it. Hit me up with everything. Once again, thank you so much. And before I go, we have two more. We got two more, and I'm so excited. I already got the t-shirt for the next one. We got Challenge Like Rosa, and we got Inspire Like Obama. So those are the last two, Challenge Like Rosa and Inspire Like Obama. And I'm about to lay these things out. I'm gonna continue to put the energy and the effort, the same energy and effort that you have been getting every week in this We Be Like series. And I really appreciate y'all listening to me. I really appreciate y'all following it. Thank you. Continue to do this. Once again, thank you for joining the 22nd episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. I'm your man, L Wonder. And we just completed part nine of the We Be Like series, which was Believe Like Thurgood. Have a great Resurrection Sunday, and Wonder out.